Turn to Romans 7, verse 22, as we teach tonight on the outer man and the inner man. Romans 7. Wow. The Spirit of God. Remember, Jesus said, out of your belly will flow rivers. We're going to have to jump around here for a minute. We are looking at, let's pray. Lord, we need help. Yes, Lord, minister to our spirits tonight. Anoint these thoughts as we enjoy the communion with you, worshiping you in spirit. Oh, God, thank you. Thank you. Amen. Let's look at one verse on stubbornness. Turn to your neighbor and just say, I think you need to read that verse. Yeah. 1 Samuel 15. First Samuel 15:22. This is one of the first verses I heard in Bible school years ago. Dr. Stevens really made a point on it, and it does hit you. The verse speaks for itself. Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" What does he like more, the burnt offerings or obedience? What do you think? I like to cut a deal with God. I won't obey, but I'll offer you a lot of, you know, I will sacrifice. But in this area, I'm not obeying. I'm cutting a deal with you, Lord. I know that you love my sacrifices. And you know, he says, no. I love your obedience more, right? Look at verse 22, part B. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. See, turn to your neighbor and say, see, I told you. You needed to hear that. Hey, somebody said, when you come to church, you bring a shovel or a hoe, you know? Do you throw it to your neighbor or do you take it to yourself, right? Yeah, well, in this case, we're shoveling over to the neighbor. Okay. We gotta go back to it. Verse 20. Okay, here it is. Two phrases, I can and then I can't. We're talking about the outer man tonight for a few minutes. There are people who say, I can do this or I can do that. And then others say, I can't. Can you give me an example in the Bible where somebody said, God told him to do something and he said, I can't? Okay, you folks are good. Moses said it. Why had Moses said, I can't? Because my speech is not good. He had an excuse, Exodus 4. The one I'm thinking about, however, is Gideon. And the angel said, thou mighty man of valor. And he said, I can't, no. You're the answer to save the nation. And Gideon said, I can't. All right, so this is the outer man. This is how we live. We have a strong outer man. We have opinions, sentiment, talents, history, culture, all kinds of things that tell us what we can and cannot do, or what we prefer, what my preference is. Anybody know in the Bible where somebody said to God, I can, or he said it to himself? Okay. But I want the outer man to say it. Caleb said it in the spirit, but who said I can do this was Peter. We can go and die with you. Peter said to Jesus and the disciples, Jesus said, I'm leaving, we're going with you, we can die with you. I can. So I just want to suggest, I want to, you to think with me about this subject. What do you actually, what do you actually say in your heart when you walk with God and he asks you to do something? What do you actually say in your heart to God when he says, obey me? What do you say in your heart? All right, check with your neighbor on it. The proud neighbor, stubborn neighbor sitting next to you. Go ahead just for a second. And turn to John 15. John 15. Verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me, let's say, see the screen up here? I can, I can't. And what does Jesus say? Without me, you can do nothing. So this one. Without me, so what do you say in your heart? Lord says, will you follow me? Will you follow me? And what do you say in your heart? I trust you. You can lead me. I can only in the sense that you would fill me, you would lead me. I trust you. I live by faith in you. This is how we live, by faith. The idea of these two, and I know you're trying to follow me and you're doing good, and I hope you're understanding what I'm trying to say. When I say I can, I really am saying me, right? And there are stubborn people that say, I can, and I will. And I will, and I can. And others, I can't, and I'm not going to, and I can't. But behind it is something that needs to be broken. And what's that brokenness? That's the brokenness of the outer man. And the brokenness results in this statement. It is, without you, Jesus, I can't do it. But with you, I can do all things. Right? You see that? Very simple. And Paul said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. In Romans 7:22. Because he found life. He found the joy. He found the reality. He found Jesus in his life as a way of life. He found it. And when you find Jesus as a way of life, it's through brokenness. It's in John 12, 24 to 26. John 12, 24 to 26. Unless a grain of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it abides alone. And there are many stubborn people that are abiding alone. They may be very determined. They may be very successful, but they're not successful with God. They might be very good at what they do. They might be very capable people, but this isn't about that. This is about God's work. That's why those kind of people burn out in the work of God. They don't have the peace. They don't have the spirit. They can't sit and be quiet for a long period of time and have the wisdom and the joy. They can't discover the Bible and the life of God and the Spirit of God. They can't be in prayer for any long period of time because nothing is happening. And the outer man isn't satisfied. But you delight in another way, and so this is it. Turn to Romans 7, verse 22, and then Ephesians. This is very fascinating. Now, wait a minute. I drew the picture of the outer man being something like this. Doesn't that look like the outer man to you? What do you think? Is that a brilliant picture or what? Okay, this is the outer man, okay? And he has a heart and a spirit, but I'll put that here in the corner. He is a believer. But he's, you could say, if he says, I can't, he has a very low self-image in his soul, and maybe he feels defeated and he says, I can't. Or maybe he's an alpha male, very strong, very determined, very powerful and capable guy, and he says, I can. And he can. But this isn't about people. This is about God. Has he found God? Does he have peace with God? Is he led by God? Is he solving problems through God? Can he keep his marriage together through God? Can he be with teenagers through God? Can he be in a church like this one? Yes, through God. Can he serve? Is he compliant with God? Is he obedient to God? So this is, if this outer man is broken like a shell before God, then the picture is more like this. His heart is big, and his outer man is there also. But you can touch his inner man. You find his inner man. You find his heart. You find the spirit in his life. He has joy when others don't have, or he has focus, or he is very determined, but he's very gentle. He's very determined, but he's not destroying people, but he's loving people. He has a focus. He's like Jesus, isn't he? He's like Jesus in life. This is why Paul said this. Look at Romans 7, verse 22. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. The inward man is what we're saying here, is this heart and spirit. It's his Holy Spirit. As we read in Romans 8, we see the Holy Spirit, you know, speaking to you. That's why in our services we are always caring that the Spirit will speak to us. And you take something home with you in your heart, in your spirit, and you just kind of have it roll around in your mind and in your heart. You're being taught by the Spirit because you are willing and obedient. And that obedience is the key to our revival, our brokenness, our obedience. And we say like this, it's not arrogance, it's confidence. And we say, I'm going to New York City. This is James chapter 4. I'm going to New York City. I'm going to buy and sell. And I'm going to make a profit. I'm coming back home. That's James Ford. Have you ever read it? The New York City part isn't in there, but the rest of it is. You know, you have a plan. I'm going to buy and sell. I'm going to go. And it's all about, I can do this. I can do this. But the writer of James 4 says, all of that is boasting, and it's evil. For you should say, if the Lord wills, I'll go to New York and survive and buy and sell. And if the Lord wills, I'll make it back home. You see that? You know this portion in the scripture? How many of you know it? Oh, I'm so disappointed. No, I'm not. No, it's why we're here. Thank you for... Okay, listen to it. Go to now, verse 13, today or tomorrow, and you say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. How many people have those plans? That's the outer man. The outer man has this plan and he knows he can do it. Whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. That means you don't know what will happen tomorrow. And what is your life? It is a vapor. You ought to say, verse 15, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. You see that? What's the difference between the two stories? One is the outer man. The other one is a man who has this relationship with God. And he says, God, if you will, we'll make it to New York. We'll buy and sell without getting ripped off. We'll make a profit if you will bless this work. And I'll come back home a year later and it happened. And I will say that I actually believe in my relationship with you that you did it. You made it possible. And I praise you for that. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Okay. Paul said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. This afternoon, one more verse just to nail that down one more time, just the same thing, Ephesians 3 in verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. If you are strengthened within the inner man, you are very capable. You are a very capable person. If you are strengthened in the inner man, you just go on and on, you just can do it. You discern things, you have love, you are wise. I'm amazed, our church, how much volunteerism we have and how much people love and enjoy being together. And, did any of you have a Thanksgiving dinner? I didn't have one like this, but I read, Aunt Susie has a yappy dog during Thanksgiving dinner and she's feeding it scraps from the table and one of the babies has a dirty diaper, and the turkey gravy is spilled, and all of these things that happen in a family. The outer man, just has a hard time in this world. He does. He has a hard time with Aunt Susie and the yappy dog and many other things that happen in family life. But I want to say to encourage all of us that we have found something. Not only have we gotten saved, but we are learning how to live. We are learning to love, learning. So I called up Purio this afternoon and asked her if she had any testimony about it. About the broken, then I called Ronaldo And he has something, both of them like short little things. I don't know what they're going to say exactly. And then we'll do the offering, and then we have Pastor Mark Minichello. He's going to talk about it too a little bit and lead us and close the service and lead us into prayer and praise tonight. But who would like to go first? Is Puriel here? Did she survive the afternoon? Oh, there she is. Okay. Do we have a microphone to go to Puriel?
Okay, I'll be here then. Well, I'm going back here. So Pastor asked me about think about people that I know who have a broken heart. And
could you stand? Thanks.
I obey.
Si, obey.
So first person I thought about was Sharmi, who is a widow, lives in Nepal, has four little young children. And my recent conversation was with her that she was so excited that they were planning with the ladies in the church to go on a missions trip to like a remote village in Nepal. And I said, I'll pray for that. And then when I called her back and I said, how did it go? And she was like, it was so amazing. And she was just so excited but so broken that we could just go and meet these ladies in this village and talk to them and tell them about Jesus. And they were so like open. And she was just like, wow, what a woman.
Wow.
She has, you know, her life, and but she thinks about like people who are lost and wants to bring the gospel. Yeah, and then I thought about another friend who lives in Central Asia. And so a missions team was in Central Asia, sent from this church, and they met people who had never heard about Jesus. And these people believed, and their lives were changed. And then the missionaries were kicked out of the country, but these ladies continue. Like this friend of mine, she goes to other villages, tells the ladies about Jesus who believe. And like this one person, she's now been believers for many years, and her husband, her family rejected her. And, you know, like a lot of like abuse, harassment, physical abuse, mental abuse, saying like, just deny Jesus. Just say you don't believe in him and you'll have your family and everything will be fine. And she says, no, I can't. I can't say no to Jesus. Jesus means me more than anything else. And she was kicked out of the house. But these are like faith heroes, very broken people. But Jesus is so precious to them.
Wow.
And let's think about, like, I know, like, in this church, you are very broken people. You have a heart for missions because you do it. And just recently, one of my friends told me that she had never ever been anywhere except in this church. And last summer, she went on summer harvest. And she said, my life changed. Like what I saw there, how God used me, the power of the gospel, I want to go back. My life changed just by going on a mission trip in America.
Thank you.
One more.
Sure.
A person here, a family who escaped their own country because they were persecuted, and it's like building their life here in America. And they were able to put their children in our Christian school. And their life is not easy here in America. But she's like, I just think about missions. I think about souls. I would like to go back to Africa and tell those who are lost, because they will go to hell if they don't know Jesus. And then she's like, yeah, I can come on Saturday to outreach, and I can share Christ here with people. So it's like amazing. Broken people who love Jesus, and you know that Jesus is worth everything.
Wow. Thank you. Okay, Pastor Ronaldo. After Pastor, we'll take the offering. And thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you.
Yeah, brokenness. Praying last night and thinking about this Sunday, it's Faith Promise Sunday, and we tend to think about missions and participating in Faith Promise. I was thinking about the mindset behind participating in Faith Promise. Why would I do that? How would I get involved? And it takes some brokenness. It's not just about money. It takes some brokenness. Something has to happen on the inner part of me that I'm not prepared for. Nobody plans to be broken. I think the Spirit leads us into situations because we are broken people who don't like to be broken. All of us are broken people. And I used to think that brokenness was something to better. I'd be a better Christian if I was broken, but really, brokenness is a mechanism that brings me closer to God. And the word that comes to my mind is identification. When I think of brokenness, it's identification. In Romans 6, when I think about what Christ did on my behalf, and as I'm identifying by faith, I'm broken by that. When I think about the lost and I identify with God and his heart for the lost, I am broken by that. There's a mindset behind missions. When I identify with God's heart for the lost, I am broken by that. My outer man is not enough for these huge situations. My outer man is not enough for a broken cell phone, never mind something else. But my inner man is tuned for the things that matter to God. And it takes the Spirit to break my outer man. I was thinking, as Pastor Shallow called this afternoon, about a situation that happened in Africa a few years ago. More than a few years ago. I was a single pastor in Africa, just believing that, okay, I'm out here doing God's work, and you're running in what you can do. And that's easy to do when it's for God. And we had a great service, a great meeting, and we had like 10 visitors. I was like, okay, this thing actually works. This is amazing. Okay, God is in it. And I went home, and later that evening, maybe 9 o'clock-ish, I had a knock on the door, and one of the pastors I worked with came to the door in tears. He couldn't talk. I brought him in. I just held him for like 15 minutes. He just couldn't talk. He was saying words, but they weren't making any sense. And he said to me, "How did it happen? How could she?" I said, "What are you talking about? Who is she?" "My daughter. My 15-year-old daughter is pregnant." And he continued to go on and on about all the flood of emotions. "I'm angry. I can't believe it. All the things I've done for God. He couldn't keep my family." He was indicting everybody, himself, God, his daughter. And this went on for about 2 hours. And I was just quiet. My training didn't prepare me for this. Bible school didn't really prepare me for this. I had nothing. I had nothing. I didn't have a verse to throw at him. I didn't have anything. This is a grown man weeping and bawling like a baby. For 2 hours, just everything you could think of. For a while, I held him. For a while, I didn't. For a while, I held him. For a while, I didn't. He was just inconsolable. He said, "I'm down. I'm just down. I'm broken. I'm finished. I'm down. I can't serve God. Our family, we're done. We're done. We're just done. This is it. I have nothing left. I have nothing else to say to God. I have no prayers. I have nothing. And he got quiet for a while. And he said, I have nothing left but God. I have nothing left but God. And isn't that the whole point of being broken? It just brings me closer to God. And whatever vehicle or mechanism God has to do to break the inner man, the outer man rather, and get to that part of me that is sensitive to the things of God, the inner man, that hidden treasure, whatever that is, God will do it. Christ didn't die for sin, he died for fellowship. Sin was just in the way. And brokenness gets me there. So as we think about missions this weekend, this Sunday, I think about it. That's the heart behind it. Being broken. I can identify. I can connect. The beginning of brokenness looks like sympathy. Sympathy is observational. I see something, I'm moved by it. That's outer man. But when I get to the inner man, I go from sympathy to empathy. Empathy is more about opportunity. I have an opportunity to think with God, to connect with God, and get beyond being observational Christian. But I get my hands in the work. I get my life into God's life. It's not my life and God's life anymore. It's just life. Brokenness. That pastor later, he went through a lot. There's a lot of shame, a lot of bad things. But he said to me years later when I asked him about it, he said to me, God will never be the same. God will never be the same to him. When that night, after a great church service, God broke him. No one asks for it. No one plans for it. But if we're going to get closer to God, we desperately need it.
Hey, again, what a beautiful night so far. Amen. God has really visited us. Just a few thoughts from Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8 and verse 34. Lord, thank you for the way you have manifested yourself to us tonight in so many ways. Teach us more what it means to welcome brokenness as we welcome you. Thank you, Lord. You are so personal, so intimate with each one of us. And we love that name, Emmanuel. And we love this time of year that reminds us that God is with us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark 8, 34. Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Let him renounce self. I was thinking the other day of how scary it is to renounce self when self is all I know. It's very, very scary. But tonight, Pastor Schaller read that scripture a little while ago in Romans 7:22 about delighting in the inner man. It's so beautiful that we have a self beyond self. Ephesians 4:24 mentions the new man. It's like a firm foundation below the shaky foundation of self. And as we learn to delight in the inner man, as we learn to live in the new man, we start to realize that living in self alone is not the way to go, because the end of it is death. We know that. Romans 8, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and it's peace. So we really do have an amazing self beyond self to delight in, and that's the new man. And this chapter is so amazing. Pastor Schaller this morning in service was talking about Christ, the way he rebuked Peter here in the same chapter, 32 and 33. Get behind me, Satan, because you savor the things. He's talking to Peter, who really had his best interest at heart. If some witness had been there watching the whole thing, he would have said, oh my God, Peter was being so nice. He was being so kind. He just wanted to spare him. And then Jesus called him the devil. From a natural perspective, that's, I'm sure, how it looked. Peter had just called him the Messiah, like 4 verses earlier. You are the Messiah. And it was this glorious moment. And if it had been Hollywood, there would have been trumpets and violins and wind, and it would have been so amazing. But 4 verses later, the music would have changed. You know, some creepy minor key when Peter just gets it all wrong. But he had Jesus' best interest at heart. But it was wrong. And it reminds me of when Satan offered Jesus all the kingdoms of the world. Remember, in a moment of time, Matthew 4, he saw them all. And he said, I can give this to whoever I want. I can give this authority. Just bow down and worship me. And Jesus says very, very similar words to Satan. He says, just get away, Satan. Get away, Satan. You know, I'm not worshiping you. You will worship the Lord God. He's the only one you will serve. When we're broken, it does away with sentimentality. I remember a time in Bible college. I remember exactly where I was. We had this kind of kitchen slash entryway into our dorm. And I remember one morning just getting on my knees and just crying out to God and saying, I hate the way I think. I just hate it. I hate it. And I remember God visiting me. And it wasn't so glorious in one sense, but there was a sense that God was there. There's that beautiful passage in Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12 that says, break up the fallow ground. Break up the ground that's hard. The ground of our heart. Pastor Schaller talked about John 12 a little while ago. Verse 24 about the seed that has to fall into the ground and die. There's this coat around the seed called the seed coat. And that's the thing that has to fall off. It's like a crust or a layer. And when that falls off and dies, the miracle of germination can take place. And if we think each one of us, how many times has that miracle of germination and growth taken place in our lives when we've just cried out to God in a moment of brokenness, despair? Lord, I don't like the way I think. I don't like the way I reason. My priorities are all wrong. I can't figure this out. I was telling Pastor Ronaldo before the service, I think that's my go-to prayer. Lord, I have no idea what I'm doing. I need you to help me. I need you to fill me. I just got back from France. I flew home on Thanksgiving, and I was able to see our churches in Nîmes and Montpellier and Paris, because my daughter is in Montpellier this year. And I was really broken thinking about servants of God over there, many that I've known for many, many years. Jean Cartier, Michel Texier, Johan Pep. I got to know him a lot more during this trip. And isn't it amazing, beautiful, to think of a servant of God who could have gone one way, who have had many opportunities to go one way or another way, but chose. I'm going to pursue this treasure for the sake of Jesus Christ, for the gospel's sake. It goes on a little further in Mark 8, and it says, if you're willing to lose your life for my sake and the gospel's sake, you'll save it. Isn't that amazing? Decisions that brothers and sisters in the Lord have made for the sake of Jesus Christ and for the gospel's sake. It's beautiful. And I was thinking of how many know Pastor Virgil from Brasov, Virgil Obreja. He's a friend of mine. I remember meeting him in Romania years ago, and he lived in a dorm building that our church rented back in the 90s for services. And I remember he didn't speak any English back then. I didn't know any Romanian. He lived with his two brothers and this older man in a small room. And he had an accordion in his room, like a family accordion. And I remember just like playing that accordion. He was coming to services, and he had just come out of the army. And I just remember thinking, this is a blessing. You know, just being with him is a blessing. What I'm trying to say is, making decisions for Jesus Christ and for the gospel's sake produces joy in our hearts. I have this memory of Sue Vieter. I was coming back to Budapest when I lived in Romania, and Sue said, "You look happy as a clam." I remember thinking, I'd never really heard that expression before. But I remember thinking, it's enough. Like, the gospel, our Bible, the body of Christ, it's really enough. So many are pursuing so much, but we've found a treasure in the body of Christ. The outer man is broken. The seed plops down into the ground. The seed coat shrivels up and dies. The miracle of germination takes place. There's growth. There's genuine, authentic joy that millions of people on this earth are pursuing tonight, and they have no idea of how absolutely beautiful and glorious the simple joy of following Christ and making decisions for Christ's sake and the sake of the gospel produces in our lives. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much. You visit us. You are very wise to know how to bring that trial, that the fallow, hard ground of our heart would be broken up. so that the seed, the eternal seed, the incorruptible seed, can be that which springs up from the natural seed, whose outer man, whose coat just shrivels up and dies. Thank you, Lord. Teach us to delight more than ever in who you are. You're our God. You're our God. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.